I'd like you to give me about 15 minutes or so to speak to you this evening. And you will have at the end of this an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It will be the greatest decision you've ever made in your entire life. There'll never be a decision that affects you in a greater way, not only in time, that means here and now as we live, but also forever in eternity. The decision you make this evening can assure you of the fact that when you die, you will not go to hell, which is the complete absence of God and all that comes with that, but you'll go to heaven where God is. You'll live with Him and those who belong to Him for all of eternity. And the bliss, the happiness of that place, the Scripture says, is never ending. Now, Father, I thank You, Lord, for this evening. I thank You for the testimonies. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the incredible depth of Your love for every person that's gathered here in this auditorium this evening. Lord, don't let anybody end up in hell tonight who has a chance to make heaven. I thank You for it with all my heart. In Jesus' name. Now, Paul said, I want to just share one verse of Scripture with you. Paul wrote to a young man called Timothy. Now, Paul was at the end of his race. He had said elsewhere in the Scriptures, I've run a good race. I've fought a good fight. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. In other words, Paul was about to pass from time and into eternity. He knew that he had lived and done things God's way. He had an assurance in his heart that when he crossed out of life and into eternal life, that there would be a victor's crown waiting for him at the other side. He's writing near the end of his life to a young man called Timothy, who's coming in after him. Timothy's a little bit fearful. Timothy's brand new to the faith in some measure. His mother and grandmother had been believers in Christ, in God. And Paul knows this young man has tremendous potential. But he tells him, he said, if a man strives for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. In other words, if you're going to do it, Timothy, do it right. Because if you don't do it right, there's not going to be a victor's crown for you at the end of this race. I don't know how many tonight can remember there was a marathon. It escaped me this evening, whether it was the Boston Marathon. I don't know where it was. But you remember the story, I think it's about 5, 6, 7 years ago, where this runner near the end of the race suddenly appears out of nowhere, started at the beginning. You do remember this, right? Started at the beginning and somehow kind of disappeared in the crowd. And appears about, you know, a mile from the end of the race and then runs across the finish line as the victor and almost got the crown. Almost. Except the problem with this runner is that he or she had ducked into the bushes, grabbed a taxi, and drove the 20 miles to near the finish line, got out of the taxi, jumped out of the bushes again and crossed the finish line. Here I am. Which it leads me to the question, how did you get here this evening? How did you arrive in the house of the Lord? Unless you strive lawfully, Paul said, there has to be a lawful, this has to be a journey as it is prescribed by the Word of God. Number one, if you're going to come to salvation, the only way to salvation being the forgiveness of your sin, the cleansing of the filthiness of your spirit as it is, the being given a new life here on this earth, a deposit of the life of God coming within you, and an assurance that when you die, heaven is your destiny. You cannot get there but through the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You can attend church all your life and not go to heaven. You can do good deeds. You can help little old ladies cross the street. You can buy groceries for hungry. You can do all these things, but not one of them. The prophet Isaiah said, all of our works of righteousness are like filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. There's no way that you and I can make amends for the wrong things that we've done. No amount of resolutions, no amount of church attendance, no amount of promises that we're going to change. Promises we make to God, promises we make to people, all of them are valueless. And none of them can buy our salvation. That is why God became a man and went to a cross 2,000 years ago and allowed fallen humanity to nail him to that cross, beat and abuse and bruise him so that he could pay the price for all the wrong things that you have done. That is salvation. Salvation is Jesus Christ on a cross, dying for your sin. We heard it this evening. I am the way, he said, the truth and the life, and no man, no woman, nobody comes to the Father except through me. There is no way to heaven but through the cross of Jesus Christ. If you're going to run this race of professing a relationship with God, make sure you run it lawfully. Make sure you bend your knee at the cross of Jesus Christ and admit that you have sinned against God. Admit that your good works can't get you into heaven. Admit that you need a Savior. And open your heart and receive the sacrifice that He paid for your sin. And what happens then is a supernatural transaction. You heard it this evening. The Bible says, Paul said, if any man be in Christ, or you can invert that, if Christ be in any man, that person becomes a new person, a new creation. All things pass away, all things become new. That's the evidence. That's how you know. If you are truly born again by the Spirit of God, nobody has to tell you you are. You know you are. You know you are. There's an inner knowledge. And the Bible itself says that the Spirit of God within you bears witness. And a cry comes into your heart and you begin to call God your Father. Lawful striving. Also, we must trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the third person of the Godhead. God is three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father sent His Son. God the Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross. And the Holy Spirit has come, if we receive Christ, to empower us to be the people that God has destined us to be. We must trust in the power of the Holy Spirit as the only one who's capable of bringing our lives in line with the Word of God. We can't do it otherwise. No amount of striving, even the best intentioned striving, falls short of the glory of God. We cannot obey this book in our own strength. And if you've tried, you only come to a miserable conclusion that you can't do it. And Paul talks about it in the book of Romans. He said, I know what to do, and I delight to do it in the inner man, but I don't know how to perform it. He said, there's a law at work in me that's always dragging me into death and defeat. Who will deliver me, said, from the body of this death? Who will deliver me from this carcass I seem to inhabit that is just it's just focused on hell, and I love heaven in my heart, but my whole being seems to be focused on doing wrong. How will I get free? And Paul said, thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, thank God it was done. Thank God I can be free. And the last part of striving lawfully is that we must finish the race God's way. A lot of people come into church like tonight and say, okay, I'm just so sick of my sin. And can I just come to the front and just leave it there and go back out and kind of do some of the old things for a little while? You see, this is not a place where it's not just a dumping ground for bad feelings. This is a place where we bend our knee and give our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is the giving of ourselves to the Son of God. We must finish the race. Paul said, you can strive for mastery, but you will not be crowned unless you do it lawfully. Finish the race. Make the choice. Remember, Joshua said to the people, how long will you stay stuck between two opinions? If God be God, serve Him. Make the choice. I'm going with Jesus. Will you be laughed at? Absolutely. Will you lose friends? Yes. But look around you. Look at the friends you're going to gain. You'll gain friends that will die for you, that will love you. Years ago, I entered a, I was telling the choir about this morning, a friend of mine and I, two cops actually, we entered a marathon. It was a 10-kilometer race. Now, that's about 6.2 miles. Seemed like an eternity from one, the beginning to the end of this race. And we, neither one of us had ever done this. I was a casual jogger. My son, Jason, told me one time, he said, "Dad, have you ever thought of carrying a tin cup with you when you jog?" He said, "I think you'd make a fortune." He said, "People would stop their cars and make donations to you." Not a lot of style. I liked to jog, but I'm not very good at it. I don't have a very good gait. I guess that's the word for it. When I jog, I'm just not gifted that way. And Vince, who was my friend, was worse than me as a jogger. But we decided to go into this race anyway. There was some kind of a good cause involved. I don't remember what it was. So we lined up at the beginning, and then all of a sudden, you ever know when you get into a race that all of a sudden everybody around you has got like 16-foot legs and they come from all over the world and they're really into this and they really know how to do it? And you begin to realize, whoa, this is not going to be... If we had, you know, we started with visions of finishing maybe in the middle of the pack, and by the time the race was gone, like we didn't get finished the first mile, we couldn't see anybody anymore. Everybody is gone. We finally realized this was not a casual jog. This was a real race, and these people really could run. And then there was me and Vince. And so we just encouraged each other, and we plodded along, and it just seemed like... We got about a 30-minute mile, right? We got it down. It took us probably 2.5 hours to finish this thing. And we got to the end, and when we got to the end of the race, there was nobody there. There are no ribbons. There's no people. There's not even any garbage. They've even cleaned the garbage up. The crowds are gone. And we crossed over. I don't know if there's anybody behind us. If they were, they probably needed assistance. I mean, but we crossed the line at the end, and we more or less high-fived it, and we did it, and we did it lawfully. And some people don't get into the race because you just don't feel like you can do it. You look at the pulpit and you listen to Steve and Jean and the other young lady are here, and you see the musicians and you look at the pastors and you just say, well, you know, these are professional at this and they're good at this, and I'm not good at this, and I'm going to get into this race, and who's even going to care that I'm even in it? Well, the Bible says there's a whole cloud of witnesses in heaven. If you could picture it as a balcony in heaven, and thousands of people. They're not going to leave until you get over the line. They're not going to leave until everyone who's called by the name of Jesus Christ has come over that line. And everybody who comes over that line is a victor. And it's not fancy, this race. Some of us are limping like Jacob, and others are got somebody else by the arm, and we're helping one another, but we're coming across. The whole church is coming across that finish line. And that crowd of witnesses is there. And tonight, they're looking at you as you begin the race, or at least you think about beginning it, and they're saying, don't quit. Don't give up. You can finish the race. You can do it lawfully. Don't compare yourself with anybody else because you are unique. You are you. There are no big players and no small players in the kingdom of God. Everyone is important in the kingdom of God. And when you cross the line, there's going to be a shout in heaven. You may not feel like the best runner that's ever run the race, but there will be a shout. There'll be a victor's shout just for you. It'll sound something like this. Give somebody here an opportunity to understand. It will sound like... We finished it. We finished it.
Glory to God. Glory to God. We finished. Hallelujah. If you can picture tonight, thousands times ten thousands of people shouting just for you. Because you didn't give up. You didn't take a shortcut. You didn't try to get the crown some wrong way. But you came through the cross of Jesus Christ. You trusted in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you may not be the fanciest runner ever to grace a track, but you kept going. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. You've heard it all tonight. There's nothing more to say. There's only something left to do. You have to get in the race tonight, which means that you've got to bend your knee to God Almighty through Jesus Christ, His Son, and admit that you need a Savior. You can't save yourself. Religion can't save you. You need a relationship, a living relationship with the living God. And He is more than willing to meet you if you're willing to meet Him tonight. He's more than willing to give you power if you want to run this race that's a race for His glory. If tonight you have the courage to admit that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as all on this platform have done, and many hundreds in this auditorium have already done, but you want to join us. You want to be part of this journey into eternity with God. Would you just raise your hand with me right now, wherever you are? Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. God bless you. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask in just a moment those who raised your hands to take a step of faith and slip out of where you are in the annex too as well and come and meet me here at the front of this auditorium. And we're going to pray a prayer of dedication tonight where you give your life to Jesus Christ. If you brought a friend with you, you may want to turn to that friend and say, if you want to go, I'll go with you. It can be unnerving, but it's very important that you make this step of faith. It's important that you do this publicly. Remember that Jesus died publicly for you. He didn't die in a closet. It was on a hill. It was for all to see. And the least we can do is up front and publicly give our lives to Him and receive Him as Savior. And so the orchestra is going to lead us in worship just for a moment. And as they do, we're going to stand. And I want to ask those who want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior to slip out of your seat and come to the front of this auditorium. This young lady's already on her way. Let's stand. You come. Let's stand. Don't be shy. Just make your way here. We'll pray. It'll be the happiest day of your whole life. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please come in. God bless you. Now I'm going to lead those of you who have come tonight in a prayer. But it's not a mystical formula. It's got to be your own. I'm just giving you a guide tonight as to how you should pray. You're opening your heart and saying, Jesus, I am a sinner. That means I've done wrong. I don't live my life the way you intended my life to be. But thank you, Lord, that you died for me. You paid the penalty for the wrong that I've done, because I deserve to be punished for it, according to the Word of God. But you took that on yourself because you loved me, because you wanted me back again forever. It was love that put Jesus on the cross, love for you. For you as a person, individually, not for the crowd, for you. And if it was only you that would ever have come to Him, He still would have died. That's how important you are to God. And you have to get that very deep in your heart. And then understanding this, it's only reasonable now to live for Him. And you heard tonight, He'll take you right where you're at, and He'll start, if you're sincere tonight, He'll guide you. He'll help you to understand your Bible, to start reading in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John. There are people who will help you. And soon you'll be here sharing your story, talking to others about the goodness of God. Now, that seems far away, but it's not as far as you think. It happens fast. And every day, you keep changing. And after a while, you don't have to have an argument about the reality of God. You live the reality of God. Thank you, Jesus. And anybody who's not at this altar tonight, but you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior, you can pray this where you're at, where you're standing tonight. God hears you, and He will receive you. Let's pray together, please. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I deserve to be punished. But because You loved me, You took my punishment on Yourself and made a way for me to be forgiven and to be free. Jesus Christ, Son of God, I open my heart tonight and my life, and I invite You to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. I believe that You are the one forgiving my sins tonight, giving me hope and strength to face tomorrow in the power of God. I believe that because You died for me, when I die, that heaven will be my home. From this day forward, Jesus, You are my Lord. I give You my life. Guide me, lead me, teach me, and help me to become the person that You have called me to be. I trust in the cross for my forgiveness. I trust in the power of God to change me. I trust in the faithfulness of God to keep me till I get to the end of this race. Jesus, I love You. Jesus, I love You. Thank You for loving me. I believe with all my heart tonight that You have received me, and I am now a child of God. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we give a shout? Can we give a shout for these? For you. That's for you. That shout is for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.